This is the Outsource Accelerator podcast, and with me today I have Andres Perez Soderi. He is the co-founder of Sanas, which we're going to hear all about today. It is an accent conversion software that is set to revolutionize the outsourcing industry and millions of jobs with it. Unlike much technology these days, it isn't about wiping out the jobs. This will actually enhance the work being done in call centers. And of course, it has a lot of other applications across the globe. And of course, Andres has incredible plans for this technology and software solution. But in essence, what does it do? It corrects or changes or neutralizes an accent and converts that accent over to a different accent. So, for example, in the call center industry, it can change a Filipino accent or an Indian accent over to an American accent, for example. So it's quite incredible technology, quite incredible potential, and of course, it comes from Silicon Valley, and some of the best minds in the audio space have been working on this. So really exciting to have this conversation with Andres and explore this brand new technology. We do actually have a listen to three quick tracks, three examples, and I really do think that this software, pardon the pun, will speak for itself, and it certainly does. And we listen to three example tracks a little way through the podcast. As always, if you want any of the show notes for this podcast, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm super excited to be joined by Andres Perez Soderi, which is sort of tough for me to pronounce, but we're going to talk about some software that might help me with that in a minute. So welcome to the show, Andres. You are the co-founder of Sanas, or Sanas.ai, which I'm super excited about and want to share with the outsourcing community. So first of all, Andres, welcome to the show. And can you start by saying, what is accent conversion?
Of course. Well, Derek, again, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. To talk a little bit about accent conversion and to use somewhat of a live example, we can hear right now that we're both speaking in somewhat of different accents, right? I have an American slash, you know, a little bit of Spanish accent with me, while you're speaking in a predominantly English accent. And the idea of accent conversion is using software, specifically machine learning, to be able to match those accents. So for example, right now, say we would be, you know, doing a podcast for the UK community, I would be speaking in my American accent, but the listeners would be hearing an English accent such as yours, in real time. So that's a little bit about what accent conversion is. And this is, you know, very excitingly to say a world first that we've built here at Sanas.
Sounds super exciting. And it sounds somewhat like science fiction or the Holy Grail. You know, I mean, it's obviously not curing cancer, but this is a pretty incredible thing that, you know, you are suggesting that Sanas can actually change an accent in real time as someone is speaking it?
Exactly. Yeah. So to tell you a little bit about, you know, the problem statement and why no one had done it before is accents are really complicated. You know, when you first start speaking to someone, I'm sure it's happened to you before, over the first few sentences, you may not really be sure what accent they're speaking in. And then after a while, it's like, oh, aha, you are from, I don't know, say Texas or from California or anywhere else in the world. And for a computer, it's very similar. Accents typically are something that you only really recognize past the word or even past the sentence level. So to really tell a computer to be able to not only understand, but manage and manipulate an accent within the latency where you can tell it's real time is an incredibly difficult task. In the early days, you know, what was most alike accent conversion was the world of voice conversion. And even that was in its early days of real time. Now we've been, you know, we've gone a step up, ahead from that and say, okay, let's build accent conversion in real time. So definitely very much a sort of science fiction product. The first time I heard of it, I was, you know, very mind blown and really impressed that the technology that we have at our disposal today is able to do this. And it's really all thanks to the team and the hard work that's gone into it.
And so we'll start with the business case and then, you know, we can go into the origin of the company, I suppose. But in terms of the business case, do you feel that there's a huge business case because there's extra value in people sounding similar? And as we all know from, you know, sales and communication, that mirroring is very important and everyone has felt the friction or frustration of phoning up call centers and, you know, coming across an accent which isn't theirs. And I suppose at the extreme end of that, having an accent where they're not really able to converse normally or even understand easily the conversation that they're having. So I suppose the business case then, and also why you're on, you know, an outsourcing podcast, is that you see huge potential for this in the call center industry.
Right, of course. And to talk a little bit more about that, the proof is in the problem statement, right? In call centers, you're having people, you know, from halfway across the world speak about, you know, potentially very complex topics such as technical support or other forms of customer care. And not only is it important for the customer to, you know, feel that they're being understood, but to physically understand both ends of the line is incredibly important, because if you don't, then these misunderstandings, you know, cause huge issues in average handle time. You know, you can suffer pretty big drops in customer satisfaction, as well as a host of other issues. And it's very interesting because it's very much a sort of psychology problem, right? Humans are wired, as you said, you know, to value sort of reflection and to value people that, you know, sound and speak in a similar way that they do. So, because of course people have different accents, it doesn't mean that one accent is better than the other. What we're saying is the mismatch is quite difficult. So if you look at the economics of call centers, and more specifically those that are hired onshore, because companies know that these accents can really cause quite a lot of issues in the mismatch, companies are paying over $40,000 per agent per year more to hire someone in the United States than to hire someone offshore. And what we really want to do is say, you know, we don't think that's fair. We think that everyone should have an equal opportunity, and we're going after closing that gap so that everyone starts out, you know, having a fair and equal shot at being a fantastic customer service representative, no matter where they're stationed, no matter where they're from, and no matter what form of English they speak.
Yeah, that's incredible. And so you're saying, you know, there's a business opportunity or a cost differential typically of about $40,000 per year for a U.S. agent with a U.S. accent versus an offshore agent, you know, that typically then has an offshore accent. So it's obviously a huge market, and there are millions of people hired within the call center industry, and that's something that you are taking on. So congratulations. And how has this all come about? Where are you sitting right now? And, you know, this sounds pretty tech heavy. So how did you ever embark on this?
Of course. Well, the first thing I have to say is it's all thanks to the team and the incredible people that, you know, we get to work with every day. So right now we're in Palo Alto and pretty much the heart of Silicon Valley, where at least today we're enjoying some fantastic weather and having the very great opportunity to go, you know, surfing and skiing in the same weekend. So we've been doing a lot of that to get away from the stresses of work. But the way it started and the way it all began was because the three founders, including myself and Max Serebryakov and Sean Zhang, had a very close mutual friend that actually went to work for a call center in Guatemala after taking a year off of school where he was studying at Stanford. And essentially what you had was, you know, a Stanford computer science student doing technical support for US customers. And while at first thought you would think, hey, that's fantastic, who better to handle, you know, technical support than someone that codes, you know, all day and all night and goes to Stanford. However, he was underperforming quite a bit. And we thought that was really, really interesting because, you know, he's the perfect call center agent in every matter of the word. And what was happening is that his accent, because he was from Guatemala and answering questions coming from the United States, that mismatch was quite large. So because of that, there was, you know, quite an issue in the understanding of those phone calls. So it was very frustrating for him and, you know, tough for us to listen to as well, because accents tend to be very, very difficult to manage and very difficult for one person to change. So after seeing that, we got our thinking hats on and we got to work. Hired an absolutely fantastic team and really been building fantastic technology here at Sonus. And the things that we've been able to do have been really fantastic. And again, it's all because of the people that I'm lucky enough to be able to work with every day.
And so this product has been born from Stanford and Silicon Valley. Is that right?
Yeah. So what happened was, quite some time ago, we essentially spun out of Stanford and got funding from Village Global, which is a pretty large venture capital firm who has fantastic LPs such as Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg, as well as other, you know, tech luminaries. And so we were funded from then and have been, you know, in the early days of the company, it was a lot of technological development and a lot of experimentation, because this was so far away from what anyone thought was even possible, right? So what we did know is that, you know, first of all, we need to get the best people on board and, you know, the rest we'll figure out as we get there. So again, in the early days, it's a lot of getting the right hands on the table, but it was also a lot of experimentation. And, you know, to be honest with you, it was a lot of ups and downs. Certain things were working, certain things weren't working. And, you know, sadly, this isn't like a homework assignment where you can ask your teacher for the answers. It was really a problem that had no solution until we came around.
Were none of those big boys, you know, obviously now audio, I'm not sure if I'm using the right technology, but audio is really big in the scene. You know, there's Alexa, there's Siri, everything is becoming voice controlled now, and they think that's potentially the new frontier, voice interaction. So are none of the big boys really working on this problem?
So yes. Well, first of all, it's, you know, it tends to be tough to say what the big boys are working on at any given moment. But to answer your first point about the sort of audio tech, there's been quite an explosion of audio interfaces lately. I'm not sure if you've seen for example, Clubhouse, the you know, sort of audio communication app that's taken at least Silicon Valley by storm. You can also see it through the expansion of podcasts, which, you know, is partly the reason why we're here. People are really valuing human interaction in the audio form because, of course, you know, in the middle of the pandemic as well, it tends to be the most natural way we have of communicating. And what's interesting is, you know, every single time we communicate through these audio forms, we are expressing our accent. And what is even more curious, and I can tell you a funny story, is, you know, for example, Amazon Alexa or Google Home, et cetera, they tend to have quite a bit of trouble with managing accents. To tell you a story about that, you know, my own father, who has quite a thick Spanish accent, bought an Amazon Alexa, you know, when they first came out. And, you know, back then it was quite tough to really teach Alexa how you spoke. And even to this day, it's quite difficult. But, you know, we remember sort of sitting around the table and laughing at the transcriptions that the Alexa thought my father was saying, simply because of the difference between, you know, the American accent and the Spanish accent. So it's definitely a big problem that everyone's having. I think we, you know, again, we're just very lucky in being able to find the right solution for this early on. And while, of course, I can't go into too much detail about how it works, it really was more like, you know, throwing everything that's out there out the window and starting from scratch. So we went into uncharted lands very, very early on in the company, which was, again, of course, very scary at times, but we were able to get here, which was, you know, definitely the right way to go.
It is an interesting point, isn't it? I always thought of voice and accent from the Siri side, but as you mentioned, you know, it's actually from the user side as well, that initially Siri has to first understand and comprehend the voice, the accent, the controls. So it's very much a two-way street, isn't it? And, you know, I've been noticing the prevalence of Otter.ai as well, which is obviously the speech recognition, the written speech recognition. And apparently, you know, compared to Google and Apple, the level of speech recognition from Otter is just incredible, isn't it? You know, and it is. Yeah. I use it, and the accuracy is amazing. Does that, do you know, are they good with accents as well? Are they able to unpick?
So, definitely Otter is, you know, one of the leaders in the field there. There's also a really great company called Speechmatics that has a pretty strong speech to text engine that's, you know, pretty focused on accents. And to tell you a little bit more about how that works is, typically you kind of want to have a funnel, if you think about it, right? Because you want to have many accents that kind of go into one, and then you understand that speech. The problem is, you know, how do you classify that accent at first? So these new companies have definitely been doing really fantastic work. And while, of course, I don't know exactly how they've managed to do that, I suspect that a lot of it has to do with the architecture of the machine learning that they're using. Because, you know, if there's one thing that the so-called big boys have over the startups are, you know, the prevalence of data. So I think that's definitely a big question that's being answered right now.
Yeah, you wonder how much of it is true machine learning versus like a lot of humans in the background chomping through massive amounts of data. Yeah, I know myself with the outsourcing industry, there are thousands of people working in the Philippines with autonomous vehicles that are annotating images, saying this is a lamppost, this is the person, and it is incredible how basic. The basic job they are doing, having to annotate everything, you know, and there's not really a computer picking up 95% and then they're correcting the fringe cases. They're literally annotating everything. So do you think that is the case with a lot of this voice technology in the early stages?
So I'll tell you two stories about that. And one of them was, there was another company that I believe came out of Stanford as well, called Scale AI. And their whole value proposition is exactly what you just mentioned. It's labeling data, essentially. And they've been doing incredibly, incredibly well. I mean, the machine learning industry has just exploded in growth over the last few years, and that need for data has only increased. And, you know, your algorithm tends to only be as good as your data a lot of the time. And this company really came in and said, hey, you know what, let's just create a data labeling service so that, you know, this human in the loop is either more efficient or just more productive in the labeling process. And then the other question was, you know, in the voice space. So voice AI is, I would definitely say, more in the early stages globally. And it's been an interesting problem for us to solve over, you know, quite a long period of time, because there are really no data sets or services that handle the data that we need. So our data pipeline, if you see it, is, you know, very complex. And there's a lot of things that we need to do to the data to really get it to the usability point. And at some points it feels, you know, that someone should have built this a long time ago. So it tends to be that we've had to build a lot of things in-house just because the voice data space really has not been as developed as it could have been by now.
And of course, as you get more data, it becomes more powerful, and then you sort of adapt the algorithm to the increased data. Yeah.
Exactly. So basically what happens is, you know, the algorithm is very, very strong on its learning rate, and you can really see the, you know, the effects. Even an additional hour comes in with a different accent. It's really incredible. But, you know, as all AI companies say, data is really our bloodstream. So we are very active on the data front of, you know, consistently gathering, consistently checking, augmentating data in different ways in order to, you know, be sure that we're always one step ahead of what could be needed.
What I find quite intriguing and quite different about your technology is the fact that it is happening real time. There, you know, for it to be functional, there has to be zero lag, zero latency, you know, and you've got all these robot engineers and these I don't know what they are, like the people that are making fake humans, and they can go into a lab for 12 months and create a kind of a skit or something that they'll do on stage. Whereas you have actually got to create this technology that is working real time, and it has significant downsides if it doesn't work, you know?
Right. So that's another sort of two-part answer. And one of them is, you know, when you have, as you said, these people that go into, you know, what we'll call a lab and spend some time to really get, say, the voice of the President of the United States saying, you know, X or Y, there's two things that play into that. One of them is the computational efficiency. So how quickly can the algorithm physically run? Which, of course, if you're doing that over a stagnated period of time, you don't have to worry about that. But the second part, which was the larger problem in solving, was the context window. So we're operating at such a speed where you can barely even tell what character is being said at any point, right? Mm-hmm. So we're operating in such a level of sort of basic human sounds where we really need to teach the computer, you know, given a sound, manage it in a way where, you know, it creates that conversation and that, you know, that thing we know a speech, to say, in a way. And the great part about that is, you know, in a way of solving that latency issue and in the decisions that we've made and the innovations that we built in trying to get it to real time, we've also solved the issue of inaccuracies. So our architecture essentially allows for no inaccuracies. So there will never be any errors. So even if the algorithm is seeing a word that, you know, it's never seen before or a very technical term, it will never fail because of what we've built essentially on the back end. But to answer your question concisely in that sense, the context window as to how to make it understand what's going on in real time was a little bit more challenging. The computational side of things was a little bit easier in that, you know, we've been able to make it run locally. So it runs on the agent's desktop with minimal CPU utilization. And the great part about that is, of course, the data never leaves the computer. So it's pretty safe on the data security side as well. But they were definitely challenges that, you know, we had to overcome to get to that point.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. And then, you know, from the perspective of outsourcing call centers, BPOs, they're dealing with a lot of people. They're dealing probably with a lot of different accents, a lot of different ways of talking. it's also kind of a mass market product where they're dealing with relatively low profit margins, you know, huge volumes. And of course, outsourcing is eager to improve their processes and their results, but also they don't have a lot of time and opportunity to play with new technology. What are, you know, you were saying, like, the concerns I would see from a call center is lag time, is sort of taking the PC, in terms of the processor speed, it would slow things down. As soon as people start getting more, you know, speedy in terms of their speech, it would go wrong. And also data security is huge. So have you attended to all of those within the product already?
Yes, absolutely. And that comes from us being what I'll say, well, that comes from us having what I'll call a very unhealthy obsession with our product. We've really gone down and just thought about everything that could go wrong, as well as, you know, everything that should go right. And to sort of cater to those points specifically, we've really wanted to make this into a product that has no downsides for call centers. Be it, for example, now that we're expanding into India and the Philippines, we want this to be as good for the first call center that uses it in India or the Philippines, or the 100th call center. And because of that, we've really gone ahead and thought, what are the nuances that could come from every deployment, every, you know, different area of industry that their call centers are catering to, even where they are in each of those countries can have an impact. So we've gone ahead and thought about all of those things. Thankfully, again, CPU utilization is quite low, which means it shouldn't affect any of the running of the computer. It also is integrated into 800 plus communication apps. So it doesn't matter what CCAS you're using, doesn't matter what phone system you're using. The beauty of it is it's perfectly integratable. And again, because the data never leaves your computer, you know, the data security is as high as it could be. So because of that, we've been, you know, really, really focused on having no downside for our customers. The other thing that is really crucial to what you said about, you know, call centers being definitely very focused on margin is that the effects of the technology per se should be well and beyond, and are well and beyond what any, you know, offset they could have. In the integration, in the pricing, everything is definitely built for the call center. And because of that, we really want the call center to win as well. We don't just want to, you know, be another tech stack that you plug in and then forget about it, but are still charged by it. We want this to be something that is, you know, the best thing to happen to call centers since the invention of the CCAS system. And we really see it that way and see it to be something very, very transformative.
And from business point of view, then, you, as soon as you came across this sort of opportunity for technology, did you zero in on the call centers? Have you got any other business use cases? Where else do you see this impacting the world?
Right. So the goal of the company is quite ambitious. And the goal, we say, is to help the world understand and be understood, which is a pretty big, you know, pretty big problem statement, if you ask me. And to do that, we are really looking to engage in basically every form of digital communication that can be out there. So we're looking, of course, at call centers as a great industry, but we're also looking at, for example, media. So, you know, what could happen if you could speak in someone's, you know, exact accent, or, you know, work with movie dubbing in that sense? We're also looking at streaming. For example, video game streamers are sometimes having trouble with accent mismatches between their own accent and the audiences. Then apart from that, consumer, of course, is also a huge play for us. And then, you know, last but not least, a lot of enterprise calls can be, you know, very, can have a lot of benefits from using our technology. The one last one I'll mention is education. So the reason why Accent Convergence started a few years ago and not in real time was because the premise of it, you know, could be thought that if you hear your own voice speaking in the accent that you want to speak in, then the positive reinforcement actually makes you learn 2 to 3 times as quickly. And the, you know, the studies on that sense have been fantastic. So we're really looking to touch a lot of different verticals. And in doing so, the goal really is to help the most people as possible in feeling confident as they speak, and as well as being understood and understanding. That's really the goal of the company. And, you know, why we signed up for this crazy roller coaster that is building something so ambitious.
Yeah, there's a big potential for it, huh? Because the world is, you know, becoming more globalized more quickly. So we're only going to encounter more of this sort of difference in terms of people, way that people speak, which is, you know, both a good and a bad thing. So Andre, we actually have a couple of recordings. We have 3 recordings that I want to listen to now. And with the magic of podcasting, we're going to edit them in for the audience as well. So I'll play these 3 tracks and then we can have a chat about them afterwards.
Author of The Danger Trail, Philip Steels, etc.
Author of The Danger Trail, Philip Steels, etc.
Their forces were already moving into the North Country.
Their forces were already moving into the North Country.
There was nothing on the rock.
There was nothing on the rock.
Okay, so as I listen to that, I'm a layman. I just hear the sort of the overall. It sounds, it's great. You know, it's converted from what is clearly an Indian accent into what I would say an American accent with a slight sort of Siri twinge to it. When you listen as an expert, and no doubt you listen to thousands of hours, what do you hear in an accent and what do you hear with that conversion?
Right. So what we really want to do is have it as a natural experience as possible. And that means, you know, not hearing any remnants of, first of all, the accent or the conversion that just took place. And to do that, we really took some, you know, quite bold architectural decisions in that, you know, when you speak, you're not simply speaking in a sort of normal, you know, kind of flat voice as you may have heard in some of the samples. You're normally speaking in an intoned tone of voice. You're, you know, having different inflection points. You're asking questions. You're, you know, making exclamations. It's very fluid. And the way that we really work is saying, okay, let's only touch the parts of the speech that we're interested in changing. And that, of course, has to do with the accent. Everything else is completely untouched. That means,
yeah, because
that
how does your machine learning know whether I have an accent or whether I'm just getting excited or angry or sad? Mm-hmm.
So it's all in the phonetics. It's all in the way you sound, essentially. And I recognize that perhaps is not the clearest response, but of course I can't go too much into detail without, you know, going into how and exactly why it works. But essentially what it's doing is it's really clearly identifying what part of that speech and what part of that sound is an accent and what you're trying to say, while leaving untouched the parts of intonation and exclamation and the questions that you may be asking. Because of that, it carries through quite perfectly, really. We're not touching intonation, we're not touching exclamation. So, you know, when you really listen to it, you're speaking to a normal person. Then that is always the goal. The goal is to, you know, not be able to tell whether you're speaking to someone that has just had their accent manipulated through machine learning, or you're speaking to someone that's lived in Nebraska their whole life, in this example.
And where do you see this playing out in the next 10, 20, 30 years? Are we all, and obviously I assume at some point this will intersect with avatars, with kind of robotics and video. And do you think all of this will sort of, Do you think the individuals of humans and we're all going to live behind an avatar? Where do you see this playing out in the longer future?
Right. So voice is really interesting in that it tends to be almost the sort of, you know, last gap that really has to be crossed by machine learning. And that means that right now is a really exciting time to be in the voice AI space. And we, of course, you know, are very confident in how machine learning and AI will develop the ways we interact with technology. And that may very well be, for example, in a customer service scenario, you know, not speaking to a live agent for a part of the call, but whereas speaking to perhaps a conversational NLP engine. And what we see is accents will still be part of that because you still need to understand what the other person is saying. And you also need to generate speech. So the way we see this playing out is, you know, building a very strong backend of speech technology that can both handle and create and really propagate accents and natural speech as clearly as possible. So, for example, to go back to the Amazon Alexa example, when we were doing, you know, speech to text tests where we, you know, throw our algorithm into the mix of someone speaking, say, for example, with an Indian accent, as we heard in those samples, into the speech to text engine, what we saw was, you know, Amazon Alexa was able to understand a lot more words, same as, you know, the engines that power Google Home or any of these smart speakers. So what we're seeing is, you know, not only can we generate really fantastic speech, but we can also understand it a lot better from what we've created. So because of that, we are seeing, you know, a potential for this technology to touch many, many different verticals in the years to come.
Got it. It's fascinating future, isn't it? And I am slightly concerned that eventually we're going to all become more homogenized. We might, you know, be hiding behind avatars. There's sort of the risk of deep fakes, but it's certainly an incredible, you know, and also with any tool, there's incredible, powerful, positive impacts this can have. And not least, as you say, and as you are, you know, helping initially in the call center industry and, you know, really revolutionizing millions of jobs across the developing world in the call centers, it's an exciting future. And so we have convinced you. So what are you doing with your rollout? I mean, you know, are you taking on sort of everyone in the industry first off, or how, you know, how is your launch going?
Well, it's been fantastic. And, you know, we've been honestly, you know, flooded with interest, which is really great because people are really seeing this as something that's transformational. And, you know, after quite a bit of convincing from yourself and the folks at Outsource Accelerator, we are partnering to, again, give two free licenses for 1 year to unlimited seats and to two call centers, one in the Philippines and one in India. And the goal here is to find the right partner that's excited to get their hands on this first, but will also work with us to publish case studies, as well as white papers to show the positive impact that this has had on their operations. So to do that, you know, we're really happy to announce that we are giving away those two free licenses. And if anyone here is interested, please do reach out at sanas.ai, sans.ai. And, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to work together. We are, you know, talking to a lot of call centers now to see if it's a good fit and are excited to you know, go into market here and really prove what the technology is capable of.
It's super exciting, and I'm super grateful that you're giving away these two licenses, and it is a huge opportunity for BPOs out there. So if you are listening, at this stage it is just Indian and Philippine accent, and you know, it's really an exciting time. And obviously I'm a huge proponent for the outsourcing industry, and it's really exciting to see innovation in the space. And I see a lot of new businesses spring up and kind of faux innovation for the space. And there isn't really that much happening. And hearing from you and hearing the Sanas product and potential is super exciting. And I just sort of see it as a as a win-win for the industry and really exciting frontier that we're all embarking on. So, yeah, congratulations with that work. And, of course, yeah, reach out. And, yeah, super excited to see how this goes. So, again, if anyone wants to get in touch with you or know any more about it, how should they do that?
So our website has a form to contact us. So feel free to log on to sanas.ai, which is sanas.ai. And just feel free to, you know, fill out that contact form and we'll get in touch with you if it's a good fit. And if you, you know, are ready to revolutionize the way your BPO functions. And apart from that, you know, it's going to be a win-win and a very positive interaction for both of us. So I'm excited to be partnering with some great BPOs and, of course, through the help of Outsource Accelerator to be able to give these licenses for free early on.
Super cool. And, of course, all of that is in the show notes. Andre, thank you so much. That was Andres Perez Sedeti. He is the co-founder of sanas.ai. And as always, if you want any of the show notes, any of the links we mentioned, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And if you want to send us any questions, just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.